Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
First, a little bit of how we got to this point. In our normally scheduled audit fieldwork, we began that in January for the fiscal year 25 audit. We began to encounter delays and incomplete information from the CFO. After continued delays, we brought those concerns to the attention of the city manager in April, and in May, a team of city staff was assembled to work through these outstanding items.
So we had at the work session for the Milton City Council, Kristen McAllister, who is with Warren Averett. She is a CPA certified public accountant. She is also a CGFM. All right, John, I'm going to test your quiz knowledge here. Do you know what a CGFM is?
Certified government financial planner.
Manager, M. Right, exactly right. Well done. There you go. Oh,
thank you.
So she's a government and accounting expert. And she's been used by the city of Milton for an awful long time, apparently, several years anyway. And she's the one that's doing the audit. The audit, which led to questions about the entries dealing with the CFO, Curtis Krebs, who's currently on leave, pending the outcome of, you know, whatever word you want to use to describe it. Remember at the last meeting when Ed Spears told the city council what was going on and, you know, Mike Cusack suggested he take a leave. Asked him whether he should be overseeing this, asked him why he didn't do anything faster, asked him all these very rude, obnoxious, offensive questions because that's Mike Cusack, who knows little and says a lot, historically. So Ed said a bunch of things, and Ed, to me, sounded very reasonable and rational and laid out the whole case and what had happened. Now, Kristen McAllister is here, basically saying the exact same things that Ed said. And for the most part, the council's like, oh, okay, cool. Except for Mike Cusack, who cannot help himself, does get a little bit snippy with her later on. But let's get to the facts first. What actually happened? Is the city at risk? Is there any fraud? Is there any embezzling? Is there any worry about anything? Listen to what she says.
In the beginning of June, we became aware that the cash reconciliations were not completed during the fiscal year. Since that time, we've been working directly with city staff, including on-site time with the budget director as well this week, to assess the situation and to establish a path forward along with city management.
And again, just in case you're wondering, we talked with John about this. He was an accountant himself, or at least certified, trained as. Okay. Are you a CPA?
I have a degree.
Okay. Yeah. And cash reconciliations are an important checking mechanism. But if the cash reconciliations are off, it doesn't mean, or didn't get done, it doesn't mean that any fraud occurred. It just means that a verification method wasn't done properly. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. So no big deal, at least not yet, but she's going to go on and explain it.
I want you to know that this is not a new challenge for the city. Cash reconciliations have been a recurring audit finding for nearly 20 years.
Oh.
Fiscal year 22.
So no crisis.
Right, but
no need to talk about putting the city manager on leave or
if it's 20 years, don't you think that perceived?
She's going to answer. Good question.
Oh, okay.
Yes, exactly.
Fiscal year 22 was the most recent year that there wasn't a find or that there was a finding reported. The city made meaningful progress, and in fiscal year 23 and 24, there were no findings within this area. So while the current situation is a setback for the city, you have demonstrated that you can get this right.
Yeah, this is not a brand new problem. It's also not a problem that can't be fixed. It's not that big of a problem to begin with, although it is not a nothing problem.
Let's talk a little bit about why the reconciliations matter, because I know you're wondering, what is the big deal? When we assess the risk of fraud over cash as auditors, we look at two types of controls, preventative and detective. Primary controls are preventative. These stop fraud from happening in the first place. And the city has strong preventative controls in place.
So the main kind of concern that money was misspent, misappropriated, however you want to describe it, those preventative controls are robust, strong, and effective. This is not of that sort. But she goes on.
CFO did not sign checks. Check signing authority was within other members. The CFO didn't record deposits. Deposits and cash came in through the customer service clerks and were recorded by other accounting personnel. There is adequate segregation of duties across the cash cycle, meaning that no single individual had the ability to receive, disperse, and record transactions. These are the most critical controls because they remove the access needed to misappropriate funds.
So the money's safe, y'all. And it, you know, that's a crucial part of this conversation that maybe hasn't gotten mentioned as much as it should be. She's going on.
Fraud typically requires two things: access to move money and the ability to conceal it. The bank reconciliations are a secondary detective control. Still important, but it's a detective control. Their purpose is simply to identify discrepancies after transactions have occurred, essentially confirming what the bank shows matches the city's records.
So it's a verification question. Not that that doesn't matter, but it's the doing of the bad stuff and then the catching or the exposure of the bad stuff. And this is on the exposure side. And so if no actual bad stuff was done, the fact that you weren't properly going through your mechanisms to catch it is a concern, but not that big of a concern.
I know one question you may be asking yourself, in light of this, do we need a forensic audit? At this time, there's no evidence to suggest fraud has occurred. A forensic audit is typically engaged when there's specific indicators of fraud, such as missing funds, unauthorized transactions, or falsified records. What we've identified here is a performance issue, that the reconciliations were not completed. The existing controls, as I just discussed, of segregation of duties were in place, which significantly reduces the risk of misappropriation. I'd recommend allowing city staff to work through the reconciliation process first. It may still be necessary in a path you want to choose, but let this process happen first.
So, no problem, no fraud, something needs to be done a little bit better, let the city work through this. They're already taking action on these things, and essentially everything that Ed Spears told you 2 weeks ago is correct. We're all good. Are they going to call for her to resign or step aside or quit or anything? No. But when Ed says it, oh, I don't know if he can keep his job. I don't know if he's in a position to... because it was all politics, because, you know, particularly Mike Cusack is looking for any reason to get rid of him. I would say also Heather Lindsay and Marilyn Farrow and many members of the public, the Pitchfork Posse, who have hated Ed since back to the Randy Jorgensen days. But, you know, what she's saying and Ed's saying are the same thing. And it was way overblown by the people who asked questions based on their ignorance and the city council members, particularly Mike Cusack, who made accusations based on his ignorance, both of how this even works and of the particulars in this case. But we'll get to that after the commercials. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. Still working that one accident that happened on New Warrington Road, just south of Twin Oaks Drive. Both the northbound and southbound lanes are starting to see some delays there as they're trying to move that out of the way. But other than that, I-10, I-110, everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5. The History of the Blues is presented by Dan Stewart Law Firm.
Shortly after the 1946 Omaha Air Show, the Blue Angels made the transition from the Grumman F6F Hellcat to the sleek Grumman F8F Bearcat, the world's fastest piston engine plane. They took delivery from the Grumman factory on Long Island, New York, and on August 15, 1946, they headed back to NAS Jacksonville on what was supposed to be a nonstop flight. But a little over a third of the way there, each plane experienced trouble controlling the trim of the aircraft. They radioed NAS Norfolk, explained their troubles, and asked permission to land. A few minutes later, NAS Norfolk radioed back that Grumman had called to say the planes were unsafe to fly. Not the kind of information a pilot likes to receive when flying about a mile in the air. The problem was that, having taken off the guns, ammunition cans, and armor, the center of gravity was thrown way off as fuel was burned, but they managed to land, safely refuel, and continued to Jacksonville, this time stopping frequently to top off their fuel tanks. Adding 50 pounds of lead ballast corrected the problem, and with only 15 hours of practice in the planes, the Blue Angels performed at a Denver air show in their new Bearcats. It was in these new Bearcats that the Blue Angels developed what would become their trademark four-plane diamond formation. 5 weeks later, tragedy struck. On September 29, 1946, during an air show celebrating their move from Cecil Field to their new home base of NAS Jacksonville, more than 6,000 visitors watched in horror as Lieutenant Robbie Robinson's plane crashed into the runway. He was completing a series of vertical diving rolls and started to make a high G pullout at 600 miles per hour. Suddenly, the left outboard wing section of his Bearcat sheared off. The plane slammed into the runway, leaving a 12-foot crater. It was the Blue Angels' first fatality. Robinson was mourned by the remaining Blue Angels, but 6 days later, they performed a successful air show in Oakland, California, and continued their 31 shows around the country, including performances at NAS Pensacola and at Whiting Field in Milton. I'll be back with more after this.
With Old Dog Dan, we make it clear that every child is wanted here.
Hi, folks. This is Bulldog attorney Dan Stewart. The Blue Angels inspire a culture of excellence. Abused or homeless children do not have a jury of their peers. Let's inspire a culture of excellence to protect our children.
With Old Dog Dan, we make it clear that every child is wanted here.
The Blue Angels shoot down an enemy aircraft during their exhibition. Next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. Pennair Credit Union's high-yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at Pennair.org/checking.
Federally insured by NCUA, Pennair's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield on balances up to $10,000 with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
So continuing the City of Milton work session where they talked about the CFO issues, the audit, and, you know, how serious of a problem is this really? Short answer, not very serious. Important, but it's a checking mechanism or a verification mechanism that wasn't done properly as opposed to an actual ability to do fraud or anything that was done wrong, which Krista McAllister is basically saying at this point, we haven't seen that. Do you need a forensic audit? No, there's no evidence of that at all.
I know one question you may be asking yourself in light of this, do we need a forensic audit? At this time, there's no evidence to suggest fraud has occurred. A forensic audit is typically engaged when there's specific indicators of fraud. such as missing funds, unauthorized transactions, or falsified records. What we've identified here is a performance issue, that the reconciliations were not completed. The existing controls, as I just discussed, of segregation of duties were in place, which significantly reduces the risk of misappropriation. I'd recommend allowing city staff to work through the reconciliation process first. It may still be necessary in a path you want to choose, but let this process happen first.
Which sounds almost verbatim to what Ed Spears said when asked about this, which is because he was working with her and because he's trying to be responsible. And she's saying, yeah, there's no reason to think any underlying financial data is wrong. There's no real need to go to a forensic audit and spend all the money that would involve. There's just be patient, breathe. It'll be okay.
Another question you may be asking yourself is, are the city's financials accurate right now? Because you're making decisions, as you just did, to expend money. I know this is a concern, and until the reconciliations are fully completed, there is some uncertainty. However, the city's bank statements, revenue records, expenditure records, they're all intact. The reconciliation process that is incomplete is simply tying those pieces together. We have no reason to believe at this time that the underlying financial data is unreliable.
No evidence of fraud, no evidence that there's any money missing, no reason to be concerned about any of that. We have a bunch of next steps and we're working on it. It will take some time and...
I understand this is concerning, but I want you to know that city management is taking this seriously. As I said, you have good news. Your preventative controls, your first line of defense was intact.
So everybody overreacted except for Ed Spears, who told them don't overreact. And then it was suggested that he shouldn't be overseeing this. Why did he wait so long to figure this out? Why didn't he do more? Well, as soon as it was notified to him that there was an issue, he started taking action and he informed the council. And now he's actually been proposing that they task somebody to do specifically the checking of this particular mechanism so that there's a two eyeballs on this problem in the future, which apparently had never been done in the 20 years that this is kind of an off again, on again problem. So if anything, he's actually done more to solve it than anyway. But John, will the city of Milton council and or public and or Pitchfork Posse and Mike Cusack allow those facts to get in the way of them staging a fit and acting like this is the end of the world?
Of course
in our
not.
Next edition next hour?
Yeah, of course not.
Oh, no. Next hour is going to be all the fun and all of the drama. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
See, when you don't understand what the sheets mean or what the language is, you overcompensate for it. So anyway.
Which all right. That is a perfect summary of the Mike Cusack response to all this. And that will all be explained at 7:10.
All right. It's brought to you by Florida West. Did you know Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create highways, jobs, private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base? Still working that one accident on New Warrington Road, just south of Twin Oaks Road. If you are coming southbound on New Warrington, before you get to Chief's Way, traffic is starting to back up almost to Pete Moore Chevrolet there. So just be aware of that. That's going to cause you some slow as they try to get that accident out of the way. If you're northbound, you're seeing just a couple of minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. More David?
Analysis.
David?
Good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
I guess you guys are looking for some news headlines?
Sure, whenever. Yeah. Yeah.
You just want to chat? How y'all doing?
No.
No?
No.
Good, how are you? Oh.
John, how was that M&M?
All imagine,
right, let's do this.
I can imagine substantially more compelling radio in my head. I have a picture.
Well, possibly. How about this? Secretary of State Marco Rubio is telling leaders in the Middle East that the U.S. would like peace with Iran, but not at any price. Rubio's in Bahrain for a meeting of the Gulf Cooperation Council and is assuring foreign ministers that a peace deal with Iran would take into account the interests of U.S. allies. Big news overnight, 30 people dead, about 700 injured after two powerful earthquakes hit Venezuela. A 7.2 earthquake struck first, followed by a 7.5, the strongest, they say, to hit Venezuela now in over 100 years. And Anthropic is accusing Chinese technology firm Alibaba of extracting capabilities from its Claude AI program. A letter sent to two members of Congress states operators linked Alibaba, or operators linked to Alibaba, that is, carried out 29 million exchanges with Claude using fraudulent accounts. They called it the largest data extraction campaign of its kind.
Wow. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 629 here on News Radio 92.3. We're an hour and a half away from Costco opening, so I only mention that because you might want to not drive near 9 Mile and Chemstrand because it's going to be a madhouse. I would expect. John, would you expect anything different?
No, I wouldn't expect anything different.
He's like, are you going to go get a membership on the first day? Hell no. I don't want to be anywhere near that mess. I'm going to give it like 2 weeks.
Right.
Let it die down.
Till it calms down.
Let it relax. Yep. Yeah, just, it's fine. I've managed to successfully navigate my entire adult life and 55 years of existence on this planet to this point, and I never had a Costco membership before. I will be okay for 2 weeks. Now, you're laughing along with me, John, but you're like the give me the beta test version of it. So you're always the guy that wants right in.
Well, yeah, but
that's technology. This is different.
This is totally different. Big box. I don't want to be around a million people.
173,000 square feet. The BJ's is about 98, something like that. So this is about 75% bigger even than the BJ's. It's pretty big.
Wow.
This is going to make me sound terribly ignorant. I think I've been in a Costco before. That's where I'm at. I'm at, like, where you're at with M&M's. You know, you thought you hadn't had them at all.
Gianna Gelosi, Venezuela's interim president, says at least 164 people are dead after back-to-back earthquakes in the country.
Rescuers and first responders can be seen digging through the rubble, searching for survivors. People could be heard calling for help from the wreckage, according to reports. And buildings, of course, are without power, many reduced to rubble. Officials have completely closed the train and metro systems, and the international airport there has also been shut down after parts of the ceiling collapsed.
Fox's Chanley Painter, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, meeting with the King of Bahrain as Iran talks continue.
Marco Rubio is in the Middle East to meet with counterparts about the war and the next steps in efforts toward peace. Secretary Rubio indicated again that America prefers the diplomatic track to play out, but there are other options.
While we want a deal, we don't want a deal at any price.
Fox's Trey Yanks, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got 74 degrees. Partly cloudy skies, looking like it'll be a nice day. We'll get a check on that forecast, though, with Brooke Richardson. She's got that for us up in just a few minutes. E-bikes leaving their mark on Bayview Park. The city says riders have apparently been carving dirt paths and leaving tire tracks across the park's slopes. That's prompted the city now to post signs prohibiting motorized vehicles, including e-bikes. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city attorney has drafted some new regulations. The city council will be looking at those potentially in September. At the state level, a bill requiring e-bike riders to slow to 10 miles per hour on sidewalks near pedestrians is headed to the governor's desk. A Pensacola Beach doctor facing 41 federal counts for allegedly running a pill mill operation. 58-year-old Edward Scott Morrison is accused of illegally prescribing more than 25,000 controlled substance pills, including over 22,000 opioid pills, without conducting physical exams or establishing legitimate medical need. The indictment alleges that Morrison wrote prescriptions simply upon patients' requests. The controlled substances involved include oxycodone, hydrocodone, Xanax, and Adderall, among others. Morrison practices on Fort Pickens Road on Pensacola Beach, also holds staff privileges at West Florida Regional Medical Center. Well, tomorrow is the final day for the donut strike for Manna. Law enforcement and fire agencies across Escambia and Santa Rosa counties have been out collecting donations since yesterday.
Law enforcement, we love donuts, apparently. And you know, we're going to staff donuts until we raise a lot of money or a lot of food.
This hits some deputies harder than others.
Probably does. Yeah, I'm not really a big donor either. So
I know like, you're okay, not. You're not much of a donor. You're more of a burger and steak guy. So
yeah,
Sheriff Chip Simmons there. He talked about it with news radio here earlier this week. The 3-day food drive, he says, brings out the best in the community every single year. First responders are out today at locations including the Piggly Wiggly on Wallace Lake Road, multiple Publix and Walmarts. Sam's Club on Airport Boulevard and Winn-Dixie on Sorrento Road and Highway 90. First responders will be on hand from 3 to 6 p.m. tomorrow, the final day with a different set of locations across both counties. Full location details are available at manahelps.org. Last year, Mana helped more than 71,000 people. Well, a new political party is formed. News Radio's Chris Bryan says it's an alternative to the voting process.
Orlando attorney John Morgan has named his new political party the Common Ground Party. Now, the movement is for people who feel stuck in the middle and left behind by both the Republicans and Democrats. The members will be called Grounders. Morgan says the effort will try to undo the gridlock, the hate, and all the meanness that has fallen into politics on all sides. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And we've got 72 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still working that accident that happened on New Warrington Road, just south of Twin Oaks Road. Accident's still there. Traffic is just a little bit. It's cleared up some, but we're still seeing some delays right there in front of Pete Moore Chevrolet. Other than that, if you're trying to get into Costco, evidently the parking lot is full, but traffic is still flowing around there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Wasn't there like 1,000 parking spaces? That's crazy.
I think.
All right, 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a 40% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Thursday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Heading into Friday, a little more sunshine with just a 20% chance of rain, high near 89. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 79. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 74 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Chevron Chief Financial Officer Amir Bonner told CNBC that she expects U.S. gasoline prices to fall. Her comments come shortly after President Trump accused Big Oil of gouging consumers by failing to lower gasoline prices in line with the recent decline in oil prices. The U.S. president said prices should be $2.25 per gallon, and we are much, much higher than that. Micron said in its quarterly earnings report that its gross margin jumped to 85%. That's up from 39% a year ago. That's ahead of all the top U.S. tech companies, including chipmaker NVIDIA, which recorded a gross margin of 75%, and Meta, which is close to 82%. Treasury yields edged higher this morning as Wall Street awaits key inflation data that will shed light on how prices have increased in response to the Iran war. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note rose over one basis point to 4.412%. Futures are moderately higher this morning, ahead of inflation data. NASDAQ futures up by more than 600 points. That's Your Money Now.
Onyx, I keep having stomach issues. Please make me a doctor's appointment.
Okay, are you suffering from diarrhea, bloating, gas, or oily stools? If so, you may want to ask your doctor if it could actually be a problem with your pancreas, called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI.
My pancreas? How is EPI treated?
A prescription medicine like Creon, pancrelipase, is used to treat people who can't digest food normally because their pancreas doesn't make enough enzymes. Creon is the number one prescribed treatment for EPI.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you are allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon. You can learn more at 1-800-633-9110.
Before your appointment, visit creoninfo.com. That's creoninfo.com.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
This is a statement from the National.
National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
To me, one of the funniest stories of the day was a little thing that came out of Boston where the World Cup and soccer fans were in town from Scotland. Of course, Boston's a big Irish town, and several of the bars, including the Sam Adams Tap Room, ran out of beer.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
So when you look at the job breakdown, I think it's 1,400 and change, 1,437, something like that, of the jobs will average 68,000. Those are going to be probably more of your jobs that are on port. That'll be the actual manufacturing, welding, those types of activities. And then I think the 500-plus jobs that average 112,000 are going to be more of, that might be accounting, engineering, things like that, where they may not necessarily be in the hangar, in the facility, working on the boat itself, but would be in some office space, whether that, so it could be across the street. Obviously, that remains to be seen. I would suspect that it will be as in close proximity to the facility as possible. But that's not something we control, nor, if they find suitable office space in the city or in the county or whatever, then obviously that's something that they will determine. They'll go find that private property.
So out of the 2,000 jobs, most of them are going to be on site, but there are going to be a few administrative ones elsewhere. I remember yesterday I asked him, what do you know about possibly using the Gulf Power Building? He basically said it's a possibility that nobody knows for sure at this point. But what is the significance of this Bird On project? Remember, we're talking about the largest employment transformation in, city, maybe county. The ST Engineering project was supposed to be 2,000, and I think it's supposed to be ultimately around 1,600, and we've only gotten two of the hangars built so far. So this is a big deal. This is a huge thing. If it happens, we've gotten through the second stage at Triumph. There's $76 million added into the pot for putting a project that's going to be over $200 million altogether, ultimately, for maritime, shipbuilding here in Pensacola.
I think whatever the designation for a federal maritime prosperity zone is going to be, I don't know that the language has been put on it yet, but I have a feeling we're going to qualify whatever that language is as one of the preeminent places to build vessels in the United States, maybe in the world.
Yeah, good. And by the way, there's a concern, that he kind of raised about, and I asked him yesterday when we had him on the show, what about lessons learned from ST? Well, what we learned is that we didn't have quite enough adequate pipeline for employees. It's all good to have local jobs, but do you have local people properly trained to be able to take those jobs? And so there's been this kind of after-the-fact scramble with George Stone and Pensacola State College and even some in-house stuff that ST was doing to try to, they needed the employees. There weren't enough applicants for all the jobs is the way I understand it. And, so where do you get? Well, you got to draw them in from other places or you got to train them here locally, one or the other or both. So what can we do with Bird On? Well, same thing. If we're going to have 2,000 employees, they're not all going to be from Pensacola, but if we want to make most of them be from here, we got to do something to make sure that we prepare people for the jobs that are going to become available as this program actually comes to fruition in 2028.
It's about volume. What we don't want to do is celebrate 2,000 jobs and not have Pensacolians filling them. And I think if we were to be honest with ourselves as a community, we probably could have been a little more proactive in 2012, 2013, 2014, leading to that. Getting the ST engineering jobs is great. Those are high-paying, quality jobs, and they're doing everything that they can. They've been more and more proactive that I could speak to these last few years, and it's why we got very proactive with Pensacola State about putting the airline mechanic, the MRO school, on the airport right next to Hangar 3. Because we want to build that engine. George Stone does a great job. Our school district's trying to be as helpful as they can.
But we're, again, you know, applying lessons learned and trying to shorten that process for ST. It's a good practice round, basically, you know, dress rehearsal for Burdon. Again, assuming the Burdon deal comes through.
But I think we don't have a quality issue. I think we've got a lot of people that are clamoring for $80,000 a year jobs. The demand for the job, the career, isn't what I worry about. To me, it's just a big number.
Plus, of people to be trained. Plus, you know, if you get basically experience and training and then you work at ST, I mean, you know, other doors open for you, perhaps here, perhaps elsewhere. It's a, you know, it's not only for that one location. But again, it's not 2,000 jobs when they sign the lease. It's 2,000 jobs over time, over the next several years, that will eventually start to show in about 2 years or so if everything comes to pass.
It will not be 2,000 jobs the day we sign this lease. It will be building up. So let's learn a lesson from last time, that we can have a great economic development opportunity, a great job creator, and I think we can enhance that even more by making sure that we've got the funnel and we've got the fuel to be able to fill all those jobs, with my most selfish preference, which is Pensacolians.
Yeah, which is exactly why he said yesterday we're going to focus on this and trying to make sure that we benefit the most and maximize the benefit to our locals, because it's going to be a huge economic impact, both in jobs and in spending and in taxes and everything else. Plus, you know, we're probably going to be a part of the Maritime Prosperity Zone that the administration is working on establishing, and we are maybe even the first of the, you know, you hear talk about enhancing shipbuilding capability. Here we are, you know, plus in the region with Mobile and Pascagoula and Panama City. There's a lot of stuff going on in this area with regards to shipbuilding. 646 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. Still working that accident on New Warrington Road, just south of Twin Oaks Drive. It's before you get to Chiefs Way. I'm still seeing some backups coming southbound, about an 8 to 9 minute delay if you're coming southbound that way. Northbound is not seeing very much of a delay at all. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody says need to improve the traffic into the port. This came up a little bit yesterday. The parking for the new employees is not going to be on the port facility, most likely. It's going to be, you know, north of the ferry terminal or maybe west of the ferry terminal, towards Palafox side. And there's been a lot of talk about the possibility of constructing a some kind of a parking structure, possibly with some kind of an overpass. Yeah, all of these things are still to be worked out, I think. But I don't think they're going to see a lot of these people actually driving onto the port for their parking issues. On the other hand, people are apparently going to Costco. We're getting real-time updates from people who are driving past 9 Mile and Chemstrand this morning. And it was funny because in the beginning, the people were saying, you know, I know they open at 8, but how many people are there? And people were saying, I don't see a lot of cars. And then we started to get a note that, well, looks like some of the employees are parking over at the NEP field, which makes sense. There's 800-plus parking spaces there. If you ask me, I think more than 1,000 people, 1,000 cars go. I just think there's a lot of people like, I want to go. And there's a lot of people who are like, not for the first 2 weeks. I will go later. But a car carries more than a person, typically. So there might be a lot of people going there. And then, you know, I started to get a note that, you know, well, the parking lot is starting to fill up fast, but so far traffic is good. I just drove by Costco. It's nowhere close to full. There are cars, but not many. You know, you let me know. I mean, we're still 72 minutes out. Right, 60 plus 12, 648. That's what I should do. You know those like old-timey old man radio habits that people have? It's 12 minutes before the top of the hour here on, you know, that kind of stuff. Coming up in 14
awesome.
Minutes and 22 seconds, we'll give you the weather. Until then, here's other things you also don't care about. You know, like You know the scenes in Parks and Rec where they're making fun of NPR
mm-hmm.
that are, I mean, the show is fantastic. Those parts are the most delicious because they're written by people who love NPR, but they're so accurate.
Oh, more than accurate.
That's the best satire comes from the people who love it. So I grew up, you know, on radio, and I know all of this stuff. I don't do this stuff. You know, you don't hear this nonsense from me. but, you know.
It's off the air, people don't know.
I'm much, much, much meaner off the air. 11 minutes before the top of the hour. So, yeah, so we have 71 minutes until Costco front doors open. Be sure to get there early and get your parking spaces. Anyway, I think there will be more cars before we get to that time, and I'm kind of curious to see how the parking turns out, because could be fine, could be, what's the word I want, a total cluster. But I wonder how many deputies are assigned to this morning.
I don't know.
You know, I should
ask
you.
That'd be a good question.
I would. It's got to be 5 or 10, don't you think? Out of just an abundance of caution. Because if 9, listen, it could go swimmingly. It could be a catastrophe. And you want deputies on scene to manage traffic if it's a catastrophe, I would think.
You mean smoothly? May go smoothly?
Swimmingly. I said what I meant.
Okay. Right. Meant what you say.
6:50 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Oh. I'm going to feel guilty for doing this, but I do not care. I cannot. I can estimate that I have gotten, I don't know, 10 or 15 between Facebook and texts, comments to me that I need to be using the Idiocracy sound clip for Costco.
Welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
With the sheep in the background.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. It's all part of the plan. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty are there for you. She and her team sold 209 homes last year. Several years ago when the market was easy, when everybody was selling a ton of homes, they were well over 200, like 230 or something like that. Then, you know, interest rates got a little bit not so great. Prices stabilized, even though they had already gotten very high. People got concerned about the economy, and they sold 175 homes. And then 165, which is still a lot. That's 3 a week. That's still a lot. And then last year, with really no big change in the market, except that they've figured out how to work within it, and sometimes that means selling the homes that other realtors are finding themselves unable to sell, they were back up over 200, 209, so 4 a week. So experience matters. Doing this all the time matters. It's not a guess. You know, what's that home worth? What's the market doing at $300,000, you know, in Cantonment or $500,000 in Gulf Breeze? We know because we're selling these homes all the time. So if you want an expert, give her a call. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Summer is here, and Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Scanning County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensure our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Baptism. You two are just dumber than a bag of hammers.
Latest police technology put to use in California. They had a guy who was in his, I guess, in his house, kind of semi-barricaded.
Oh, and they used the drone?
No, don't ruin it yet.
Oh.
You can just say yes.
Yes. I didn't know where you were going with this.
Just let me tell the story,
okay,
please.
Tell it. Tell it, please.
You can know it. You just don't have to tell it. So this guy is, like, inside this room inside his house, semi-barricaded in. He's got a knife and he's, you know, kind of, they're always worried about saving the person's life. Okay. Even if a knife doesn't do much threat to other people, whatever. So the sheriff's office send in the drone to disarm him. You're like, what, the robot fought with him? No, the drone used a giant electromagnet to grab the knife out of his hand.
Well, he was asleep on the floor.
While he was asleep, yeah. Right. It reminds me of, do you remember the old Looney Tunes where they're, you know, they're walking under the giant electromagnet at the trash pile and they got the hat on and they're getting ding, ding, ding up and down with the thing. I thought electromagnets were very heavy. How did it get, I mean, I don't, whatever. Drones can do it. And then they did send in the robot too. So.
And that's thinking outside the box and I love it.
I know, it's fantastic. And see, when I first saw the headline, I thought they took the gun away because a gun, you know, depending on what it's made of, you know, most guns, do they have magnetic iron in them? I would think not. I would think it's not magnetic iron. I would think it'd be stainless or polymer or whatever, but I don't really know. And now I'm curious. Yeah, so the drone hovered right above him. He was lying down unresponsive, and you'd see the knife go up to the magnet. That's amazing. All right, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still dealing with the accident on New Warrington Road. It's right before you get to Chiefs Way or just south of that road, Twin Oaks Drive. Computer, we love them. We're seeing some delays. If you're coming southbound on New Warrington, you're going to see about an 8 to 10 minute delay. Northbound, just a couple of minutes there. We also have a light out at Campus Drive and North Davis Highway. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, Sean. By the way, I want to let you know that the sound effects produced in the prior segment were entirely man-made under controlled circumstances by a Foley expert in the studio. They are not actual sound effects from the video in question. David Williams.
What?
Well, I don't want anybody to say, I don't know, that didn't sound like a real sound effect of a knife hitting a magnet, but just like to, you know, clarify, I'd like to be honest with the people. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Secretary of State Marco Rubio telling leaders in the Middle East that the U.S. wants peace with Iran, but he says not at any price. Rubio's in Bahrain for a meeting of the Gulf Cooperation Council, assuring foreign ministers there that a peace deal would take into account the best interests of U.S. allies.
You know, inflection is going to matter a lot in that sentence. We want peace with Iran, but not at any price. As opposed
right.
to, we want peace with Iran, but not at any price.
Hmm.
See what I'm saying? It's, I mean,
yeah, no,
you know,
it makes a big difference, yeah. Night and day.
Yeah, all right. Because it could mean we're not willing to concede anything, or, well, there are limits to what we're willing to concede.
Now, I don't know if I could see J.D. Vance with the, you know, the more aggressive version of that.
Wasn't it Rubio?
Oh, it is. It is Marco Rubio. I couldn't see him with the aggressive version of that either, though.
Depends on what clothing he has to wear for what role he's being put into. Go on, go on.
The shade of red in his tie will make a big difference. The Supreme Court could release some major decisions today. The justices gave themselves until the end of June to finish their work. Several decisions involving high-profile cases have yet to be released. The docket including cases on transgender athlete bans and the birthright citizenship order. And Daryl Hall says he recently had a kidney transplant. In a post on Instagram, the Hall & Oates singer wrote, "I thought you should know that I recently received a kidney transplant from a very kind and generous donor." He said the surgery was a complete success.
You know, you don't think of your teenage music icons as getting old. But would you say kidney transplant?
Kidney transplant.
How old is Daryl Hall? Anybody want to take a stab?
Oh, boy. You have 70s?
79. Yeah. Just a few months younger than the president. So, yeah. Wrap that around your tailpipe. All right, so I don't know. I got a note in from a couple of chamber people that there's plenty of parking at the Costco. Ribbon cutting happens at 7:30, plus a bunch of other special events. We'll see how that changes between now and, say, 9.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it